Well, because God is love, and love communicates, I think I've said this a lot of times here, because of that, God reveals himself. God reveals himself. But he has to do that on our level. He cannot do it in his fullness. If he revealed himself in his fullness, we'd probably all be blown away. But he uses what he has created through which to reveal himself, to tell the truth, to give us what we need to know. And he communicates through symbols. Symbols that are from our side, from creation. Things that we do understand, or we at least we're familiar with a little bit. And so he uses symbols to reveal his truth and to reveal his will, but especially to reveal his presence among us. And he did this for Israel in a very dramatic way when he manifested himself in this, his presence in this fiery pillar of cloud. It was a cloud, it was a fire, a pillar of cloud and fire at the same time. In the daytime, a cloud, in the nighttime, a fire. And it lasted during these 40 years of their journey through the wilderness. Well, symbols, whether they are physical symbols or whether they're verbal, did you know that words are symbols? That's all they are. Words stand for something else. So whenever we communicate with words, we're using symbols. Well, symbols, when they are expressed, they can express thoughts, but they are unable, they never can disclose the thinker. They can't really disclose the full thinker. Anytime that we communicate, you know, all communication involves an element of mystery. It's like the person can express themselves and we can understand the symbols, but we really don't know everything about the person. That happens among us, but especially between our relationship between us and God. He reveals himself, but we can't really get to know him completely. And so it's a journey. Getting to know God is a journey, and listening to him is a journey. So this makes, you know, we can exchange ideas. I mean, we exchange ideas and concepts without fully knowing the minds that are communicating the concepts or the ideas. We don't really know them completely. That's why life's a journey, and it's also an adventure, getting to learn about the communicators who are communicating to us. I don't know about you, but in your marriage, if you were married, you get to know your spouse, the full lifetime of your marriage. You're still discovering things about your spouse. So it's like that with God too. We get to know God more and more, and he continues to reveal himself to us. And although we've been promised to have guidance through the wilderness we've had of this life, he's given us his divine guidance, his promise of divine guidance. The fact remains that it's a God of mystery who is enlightening us, his people, on this mysterious journey that we're on. Because this life holds so many mysteries, so much unknowns, and things that are still dark, still hidden from us, you know? Well, yes, it makes life interesting. But God gives revelation coupled with the mystery. He gives revelation to us so that we'll start to understand himself and get to know him. And this is exemplified in this thing. I'm going to read the scripture one more time and comment on it as we go. But Exodus chapter 13, this is the first time it's talked about. It's not the first time that it's seen in the Bible. There's another place too, but By the day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night, whether the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of cloud of fire by night left its place, and neither of those left its place in front of the people. So this fiery, cloudy pillar teaches us a lot of things. And one of the things it teaches us is about the way that God guides, His manner of guidance. The Lord went ahead of them. God's guidance is practical. First of all, it's very practical. His presence was constantly visible to them. He adapted its manifestation for the night or the day by fitting it to our human need, or the human need of the Israelites. And today, God's guidance is still practical. I mean, it's constant. 24/7, God is available for guidance. And although it's not so visible, it does fit our need. And how it does it is because God now, in believers, dwells within us. 24/7. We have a fiery cloud, cloudy pillar inside now. It's not hanging over above Israel. It's now inside of God's people. And God's guidance is also protective. I want to just read the passage where Pharaoh set out after the Israelites he was pursuing them. Here's what it said. The angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." I don't know if you knew that part of this story. Sometimes you just have the idea of him raising his rod and the water spreading out, them going over, and then he closes it. This was happening from the fiery, cloudy pillar. And so one of the things here that's interesting, because I've been studying angels a lot, and I do want to preach a couple of messages on angels at some point way down the line here. But here in this passage, you see an association with the cloudy pillar and angels. The angel of God was associated with this angelic protection. And today, I really believe that once in a while we have this occasional angelic intervention in our lives. Sometimes we're not perceptive. We don't see it really. We don't understand it. We think, oh, that was a great coincidence, or thank you, God, for doing that. But we don't know it was an angelic intervention. Well, God's guidance was also personal. It was like it was in the past for Adam, for Abraham, for Noah. Each of them had a personal encounter with God to give guidance to them. And now, this was mysteriously being manifested in this cloudy pillar to these Israelites, to Moses and the Israelites. God had also appeared to Moses. And now he was appearing to all the people. He was appearing to the whole multitude every single day, every single night for 40 years. And, it beyond being so mysterious, I mean, it was a mysterious thing, but beyond God's embodying himself in a fiery cloud, this cloud foreshadowed something. God was going to manifest himself in the future. It was almost like a prophetic sign that God was going to manifest himself in the future in a more substantial way. He was going to take on not a cloud and fire. He was going to take on human clay. The clay that we're made out of from the dust of the earth. He was going to take that on and manifest himself in something called incarnation. And that's what the cloudy pillar, to many Bible teachers, they look at that and they say, wow, that's like Christ. Because he came and he was really among us. We got to see him. And it even says in John, we got to touch him. We got to hold him. We got to see him. So The manifestation was real, and the manifestation continued to be real in the incarnation. When Israel refused to go into the Canaan, later on in the story, this is way later on, but when Israel refused to go into Canaan land, the promised land, God told Moses that he would destroy the Israelites. He would destroy them and start over again with Moses. And so Moses argued back with God, and he argued that Egypt will find out. If you do that, Egypt will find out. And here's in Numbers 14:14 it says, "And they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been face to face, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night." Now, I believe that Moses' arguments, they were based on God's caring, protecting, personal guidance in the past. That's what Moses was using that as his basis of his argument, and I think that's exactly what God wanted him to do. Because, you know, I was thinking God probably would have said, "Moses, you really do understand me then, don't you?" You know, because we have a lot of hard time with the idea that God is sort of setting this up, and Moses is making this appeal, and God is saying, "Okay, all right, so you do understand me." I say this because despite Israel's ongoing, repeated episodes of disobedience, because after this story, they kept on being disobedient. They didn't stop. They had a lot of episodes of rebellion. In spite of all of that, a God of mystery continued to enlighten his people in their mysterious journey. And this sort of hits close to home. This fiery pillar persisted despite human failure in following him. And is that the case with us sometimes? Do we fail to follow the Lord sometimes? Yes, we do. Does God go away and say, "Oh, I'm done with you guys"? No, he's not done. He continues to guide us. He sticks with us. It says, to guide them on their way. Not to guide them in his way. He wants to do that. But to guide them on their way. I looked at that a lot. I thought about that. We get sidetracked by focusing on our will, on our wishes, our wants, our way. And we get focused on that for our journey. And we say, that's our journey. It's our thing. And we miss it. We get sidetracked. When we are obsessed with the hardships that are present, the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, when we get focused and totally obsessed with those kinds of things, so that we're fretting about them day in and day out, and when we go to bed at night, we can't get to sleep because we're thinking about this problem or this situation. When that happens, we can fail to recall God's blessings in the past. That's what they did. These people, Israel, had forgotten the miracles that they had seen in Egypt. God's hand reaching down and saving them out of Egypt. The great Exodus was because of the miraculous intervention of God. And it's been in our lives that way too. God has intervened in our lives, and sometimes if we don't remember, if we don't recall the past blessings, count your many blessings, see what God has done, like that song goes. We've got to count them. We've got to sometimes write them down and say, yes. That's why I encourage you, if you think of a blessing, write it down and bring it to church and share it during the sharing time, so that we can all remember how good God is and how many blessings He does manifest in our lives. Well, when we do this, if we're obsessed like this, we can forget. We can forget to trust God for more miracles. If He did them in the past, is He just going to stop? No, He can produce other miracles. So let's continue to pray. Let's continue to entrust ourselves on our wilderness journey, because we are going through a wilderness many times in our lives. And the converse is truly something here too. spiritual complacency, the idea that we just take things for granted, you know? Spiritual complacency sets in if we fail to maintain a sense of devotional awe, devotional reverence before God. And we just, oh God, you are so real. Oh God, you've given me another morning. Oh God, isn't this a beautiful, the stars, I've seen them all my life, but I'm looking at them again and seeing how big your universe is. Oh God, and you love me. And that's devotional awe. And we need to have it in our lives so that we will not become complacent. 40 years of closing their sleepy eyes on a fiery pillar, and then in the morning waking up to a cloudy column of cloud. They did that for 40 years and they got used to it. It became a routine. It just became so routine to them. And Stella, instead of, oh wow, God's still among us today. Oh wow. And they didn't celebrate His presence. They didn't celebrate His presence every single day. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. Celebrate His, if we don't, you know, we don't celebrate. If that happened to us, if we just got used to everything that God has given us. He's given us the church. He's given us the Bible. He's given us prayer. He's given us His indwelling presence, never to leave us or forsake us. That is something on a daily basis to be happy about. If we don't, then we're going to treat this, oh, this is just a given, a routine given, instead of, oh, it's an awesome gift. Every single day, His mercies are new every morning. And that's a sense of awe that we need to have. They had become complacent. Or we can fail to use our noggin properly, to reason properly. And if we don't reason properly, we'll end up following our own way instead of God's way. And God gave us human reason in order to distinguish truth from falsehood, but also to determine the best choice among many, many decisions that we could make, because there's a lot of decisions presenting themselves, but what is the best choice to make? And sometimes we need to make the best choice rather than just a good choice. If there's only good choices to make, we know the bad ones, those we want to avoid, but there's only good choices to make. Well, which is the best of the good? We need to have God's guidance for that. We need to be aware that God is giving us His guidance. And you know, which is the most logical? I've used this with people who are trying to do their own thing and they're not following God, and I'm trying to get them to follow God, and I say, which is the most logical thing? To follow omniscient wisdom, wisdom that knows every single situation and every possibility, and that wisdom is informed by perfect love. Which is it better to follow, that or to follow my own limited human knowledge that only can see like with blinders on? I only see a small part of reality. I don't see the whole picture. Limited knowledge that's informed by an imperfect love. My love is always not always consistent and perfect. Which is the most logical? Well, that's a no-brainer reply. Of course, God's guidance. That's what we should be following. And yet, in broad daylight, when the sun comes up and we're familiar with the sunshine, hey, I can see my way. I can see my way to do this. I mean, it's completely sunshine. I can see there's no shadows here anywhere. I know what to do. I can handle this. And divine guidance thing, that can be pretty cloudy. I mean, He tells me stuff out of a cloud and I can't see the whole picture. He just tells me one thing at a time. One little journey, part of the journey. Here, today here, tomorrow there. And I don't know the future. Well, He does. God does know the future. And we need to trust God for that. And There's a slogan that we all saw on the bumper stickers in cars a long time ago. Question authority. You remember that? How many don't remember that thing? Question authority. Well, it was back in the hippie days in the 60s where everybody was questioning authority. But anyway, question authority was a big popular thing. But if God is the author and we are faulty and fallible questioners, then the slogan should really be question autonomy. Question autonomy. Are we able to do this ourselves or do we need God? Well, we need God. That's the logic. Finite humanity falls light years short of infinite deity. We barely understand our own tiny world. But a God of mystery does understand it, and He knows all things, and He loves us perfectly, and He enlightens the mysterious path of His people. Perhaps He gave that fiery cloud also to teach us about the mystery of the journey. The mystery of the journey. They could travel by day or night. God had Israel travel in some uncomfortable situations. How many like to drive at night, or when you were driving, you loved to drive at night? I hated driving at night. I hated saying, what's I'm seeing up there? Am I seeing it right? Is that my headlights go far? Let me put the brights on. Oh, here comes another car. I got to turn them down. What's ahead? You know, I did not like driving at night. That's not on a lot of people's... that's my wanted list. No, it's not on my... It's on my unwanted list. And beyond that, that chapter that I read for the scripture reading, chapter 9 of Numbers, that passage says that the pillar had them set up and break camp erratically. I mean, there's no schedule. And you know what? For humans, we like to know. We like to have a calendar, don't we? We like to know, have some schedule, you know? But if this was unscheduled travel and setting up camp and breaking down camp, all unscheduled, that's a pain. That's a pain. So sometimes a journey can be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. And then traveling into the unknown. You don't know where you're going. Traveling into the unknown. With us, that produces some standard questions. Some standard questions from our perspective and some standard answers from God. And I wrote these down as I was thinking. Who? You. When? Now. What? Follow. Where? Wherever. Why? Trust me. How? By faith. God has these answers for us. We have questions. God has answers, and these are usually His answers. If you look through Scripture, these are usually His answers. Part of God's reason for keeping us on a mysterious journey where we don't have the complete knowledge is probably so that we will dialogue with Him, so that we'll talk with Him, because when we are secure with everything. Oh, I'm fine with this. I've got everything under control. Do we pray? Sometimes we don't pray when we have everything under control. We don't know what's going on. Then we start, God, I need some guidance here. You know? And so we prayer. God knows that we're not sure about everything. If we really think about it, we're not. And we need to pray more often. We need to dialogue with Him. And finally, God had Israel travel with unfulfilled promises. The promises were not yet fulfilled. And that explains much of the mystery of the journey. These promises are not yet fulfilled. They're just promised. Being called to walk by faith and not by sight means that the only place that where faith can really grow is in the gap, the time gap, between God's promises and His fulfillment of the promises. There's this big gap. That's the time gap where faith can grow. It's the only place it can grow. When we see it, oh, we don't have to have any more faith. We're seeing it. But if we're only in the promise, then we have to have faith. And as the journey gets rough through uncomfortable, unknown situations, then we have to grow in holding on to the promise and trusting Him. A God of mystery enlightens the mysterious path of his people. And as a cloud of fire, a fiery pillar, vanished when Israel hit Canaan and they went into the promised land, it disappeared. They didn't have the thing leading them, this cloudy, fiery pillar. They didn't have it anymore. And we will no longer see through a glass darkly. That phrase from 1 Corinthians. Right now we see through a glass darkly. We will no longer have to see through a glass darkly when we behold our beloved Savior face to face in heaven. In heaven. And you know something? Jesus told us that he's not finished yet. He's been all through the book of Acts. He says, we're not done yet. I'm not done yet. I'm still working. I'm still doing stuff. Why is he still doing stuff? It's because we're still on a wilderness journey. We have not arrived yet. Take a look around. Is this heaven? I don't think it is. There's always a mixture of a little bit of heaven and hell down in this earth. And that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it was with them in the wilderness journey. There was bad things and there were good things. It was a mystery sometimes. Sometimes they could see with the light of the cloud. Sometimes they had to just follow in the darkness of the cloud on the daytime. In the daylight, I have to follow this cloud. Well, if we look around and say, we're not done yet, then what does that mean about the promises? It means for our faith to grow and hold on to the promises, to trust the mystery within our guiding God. He is a mysterious being. He's a loving being. He's revealed himself. But there's mystery involved in our God, even as he reveals himself. And then to also enjoy the adventure. We need to enjoy the adventure. The adventure of our mysterious earthly sojourn. Because he said he would go with us in it. And now we live in an age when it says we no longer have the fiery pillar of cloud. We have Jesus, the light of the world, reigning in our hearts. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this wonderful illustration, this symbol of your guiding presence. And now, Lord, we've learned a lot of things about it. Help us to put those into practice in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.